Humility and wisdom, two keys in order to live a life that's pleasing to God. Here's Mike McIntosh to expand on this thought.
Yes, the Coneys are a feeble folk, yet or but they're wise enough to make their houses in the rock. And if ever there was a time to come when your pastor asked you to a prayer meeting, it is now. It is a time when everything is falling apart and the humility of the body of Christ should be right before the Lord God Almighty. Because the things that are happening right now are elementary and nothing compared to what is coming.
And I'll stand up and shout.
Thanks for being with us for another edition of Chapter and Verse Radio with our teacher, Mike McIntosh. Today, he continues his studies of the book of Proverbs. All of the chapters in this book provide great wisdom and character for anyone wanting to be a great leader. Perhaps you will never be the president of the United States or of your local school PTA, but everyone can benefit from having integrity, character, and godly wisdom to lead them and guide them in life. All of God's creation can help us to learn as we hear today on this edition of Chapter and Verse. Our text is Proverbs chapter 30, with part one of the message, Four Things Exceedingly Wise. So let's join Pastor Mike as he begins our lesson for today.
Let's turn in our Bibles to the Old Testament, the book of Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. We're going to view four verses out of this chapter, and we will do it verse by verse this Wednesday night. And then next Sunday morning, we will finish the book of Proverbs with the virtuous woman. And how does a man find a virtuous woman? 30th chapter, Proverbs. The words of Agur, the son of Jacob, his utterance. This man declared to Lithiel, and to Lithiel and Ucal, surely I am more stupid than any man. I'm not saying that, I'm just reading it. Surely I am more stupid than any man, and do not have the understanding of a man. Neither learned I wisdom, nor have knowledge of the Holy One. It's pretty honest of him. Who is ascended into heaven or descended? Or who has gathered the wind in his fists? Who has bound the waters in a garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name? If you know. I'll tell you right now if you don't know. It's Jesus. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. Two things I request of you. Deprive me not before I die. Remove falsehood and lies far from me, and give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the simplicity of the food allotted to me, lest I get riches and I be full and I deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I become poor and I steal and then I get bitter and profane the name of my God. Do not malign a servant of his master, lest he curse you and you be found guilty. There is a generation that actually curses its father and does not bless its mother. There is a generation that is pure in its own eyes, yet it is not washed from its filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are like swords and whose fangs are like knives, to devour the poor from off the earth, and the needy from among men. The leech has two daughters, give and give. There are three things that are never satisfied. Four never say the word enough. Number one, the grave, the barren womb, the earth that is not satisfied with water, and the fire never says enough. The eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out, and the young eagles will eat it. There are three things which are too wonderful for me, yes, four, which I do not understand. Number one, the way of an eagle in the air. And number two, the way of a serpent on a rock. The way of a ship in the midst of the sea. And the way of a man with a virgin. There are, this is the way of an adulterous woman. She eats and then wipes her mouth and says, I have done no wickedness. For three things the earth is disturbed or perturbed. Yes, or for four, it cannot bear up. Number one, a servant when he ends up reigning and being in charge. A fool when he is filled with food. A hateful woman when she is married. And a maidservant who succeeds her mistress or marries the boss. There are four things which are little on the earth, but they are exceedingly wise. The ants are people not strong, yet they prepare their food in the summer. The conies or the rock badgers are a feeble folk, yet they make their homes in the crags of the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet they all advance in ranks. The spider, or in some translations, the lizard, skillfully grasps with its hands, and it is found in kings' palaces. There are three things which are majestic in pace, yes, four, which are stately in walk. First, a lion, which is mighty among beasts. Secondly, he does not run away from any. Secondly, a greyhound. Thirdly, a male goat. And also a king whose troops are standing with him. If you have been foolish in exalting yourself, or if you have devised evil, put your hand on your mouth. For as the churning of milk produces butter, and wringing the nose produces blood, so the forcing of wrath produces strife. We're going to look at verse 24, verse 25, verse 26, and verse 27. Father, as we look at these four verses of wisdom, we pray that you would just draw out of the well that you have poured into the book of Proverbs as we come to several months of every chapter and verse being studied in the Proverbs. We pray for wisdom for all of our hearts, our minds, for all of our families, for all of our lives, and that we would find a lifetime friend here in the book of Proverbs, that we could always gain tremendous wisdom by sitting and reading and just meditating. And now as you take these four little creatures that you created as examples ultimately for us human beings to gain wisdom from, we pray that we'll humble ourselves and be receptacles to receive wisdom from them. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Four things exceedingly wise. In the introductory remarks, verse 24, he says, there be four things which are little upon the earth. So he tells us their size, they're insignificant. And where are they? They're not in outer space, further in our galaxy, or beyond this universe. They're right here on the planet. We've all come in contact pretty much with them. But, and you'll see the word yet and but gives you the other half of the story, but they are exceeding wise. They may be small and little when we've always been told bigger is better. The larger house, the bigger car, comfort. He says that these are very little insignificant, but they're exceedingly wise. So four things on the earth, little in size, they're exceedingly wise. And that's the key to what these four things are. First of all, he talks about the ants. The ants are people, not strong. Underline the word people, because we know ants aren't people. But he is telling that they are a homogeneous group, just like people are. They're not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. So we see that they're somewhat organized as a homogeneous group, as people, just like you and I are human beings. They're not strong, the scriptures say, so that's relative. And then they prepare in the summer. They are creatures that are considered family with one another, and they have wisdom to see that it's always not going to be good in their environment, and that they will prepare for the bad times that are coming. That's their wisdom. They work together in unity. They realize that the good times aren't always there and the good weather, that winter is going to come and harsh times are going to come when they can't do anything about the harsh times. So they are wise enough to prepare themselves for the trouble that is going to come. Here's a little bit of insight for you about ants, a little information on ants. Gentlemen, I'm sorry, we have nothing on uncles today, but we are going to talk about the ants. Like all insects, these insects have six legs. And the ants on each leg have three joints. The legs of the ants are very strong and they can run very quickly, which is interesting. If a man could run as fast as the size, as an ant can run for his size, you and I would be able to run the speed of a racehorse at Del Mar Racetrack in a heat. That's how quick these little guys can run in comparison. Now, the Proverbs say that they're not strong. And I said this is relative. Because they're not strong in the sense that if my shoe comes on them, that they can push the shoe away. Or if an anteater sneaks up on them, that they can get his nozzle away. They're not strong that they can get away from a big creature or a tire rolling over them as a car backs out of the driveway. But we know this about ants. Ants can lift 20 times their body weight. Now, that's huge. When I was 50 years old, I had a goal to run 3 miles and bench press 200 pounds. I did both. Now, I could bench press 20 pounds and run 300 feet maybe. But an ant lifting 20 times, take your weight and multiply it times 20 and see how strong an ant would be. The other night, I was on a ride-along with the San Diego Police Department. The officer I was with is a very athletic guy. And I was talking about he loves to weightlift and his family owned a major gym here in town. And I said, what's your bench press? And what's your dead weight? Well, I dead weight 480 pounds. I bench press 370 pounds. I don't want to be handcuffed by him, that's for sure. Strong guy. When we did a festival 1 year in Singapore, I brought a minister called Bear, because he's built like a bear, from Calvary Chapel North Coast up in Carlsbad with me. And Bear's a weightlifter. And he's a strong, strong man. And so we had this soccer stadium, and I was the preacher, and I brought a team from San Diego, and I wanted them to meet the team from the high school kids on up, to Bear being somewhat the climax of the evening, of using him as a sign of the strength of God. Bear can lift over 600 pounds. He's very, very strong. Extreme. Even today, 20 years later, I saw him at a luncheon a couple days ago, and he's still lifting. He can still lift 600 pounds. So when I told the canon, the under bishop of the Anglican Church in Singapore, we need some weights, some barbells and some weights. And he said, how much do you need? He said, well, we'd like to have at least 600 pounds because we're going to have a weightlifter show all the kids in the stadium tonight how God made him strong, even though he's had physical problems and God gave him the strength. He said, well, he calls him later afternoon and he says, we found a gymnasium has 600 pounds and he gave him the address where to go. But what he forgot to tell him is the gymnasium was on the 8th floor of a high rise and there was no elevators. So Bear had to dismantle 600 pounds and come down the stairs, 100 pounds at a time, bring in 600 pounds, and then take the 600 pounds into the truck, and then bring the 600 pounds and unload it from the truck in the stadium, so he's exhausted before the evening starts. And he got down there in his gym shorts and his whatever else he had on, and he got there to lift up that 600, and he couldn't budge, and he says, Jesus, just help me. And then all of a sudden, the 600 pounds came off the ground and over his head, and it was a good experience. Bear could not lift 20 times his weight. A little ant can lift 20 times his weight. God made them as an unusual little creature. An ant brain has 250,000 brain cells, while the human brain has tens of millions of cells in it. So a colony of 40,000 ants would have collectively the same size of a brain that you do. It would take 40,000 of them to get all those cells together to get equal to your brain. God knew what he was doing when he was making these little guys. The average lifespan of an ant is 45 to 60 days. Now, for some of you ladies, you say, they've been in my kitchen longer than that. It can't be true. Well, ants use their antennas not only to touch and feel and to see what's out there. They use it to smell. They get their sense of smell from ants. And the head of an ant has a large pair of strong jaws, and the jaws open and close sideways like a great pair of scissors that they can chop things up. And adult ants cannot chew or swallow their food, so they live off of the juices that they take out of the food. And they swallow that juice, which they squeeze from the food, and they throw away the dry part of the food and move on. The ant has two eyes like a human being, but inside each eyeball are many, many eyes. So when they look, they see more than one thing when they're looking at, and they can pick up a bigger picture. And They're called compound eyes. Their abdomen of an ant is different. It has two stomachs. One is to contain the food for itself so that it can keep going forward, and the other is containing food so it can help others in its colony that haven't been able to go get their own food. So they're called very industrious little animals. Like all insects, the outside of their body has body armor on it. It's not Kevlar, but probably in their little world protects them. They have four distinct growing stages when they start from the egg and move on. And biologists classify ants as actually a special group of wasps. They just don't fly. There's over 10,000 known species of ants, and each ant colony has at least one or more queens in it. Now, what's interesting, the queen's job is to lay the eggs. The worker ants have a tremendous job. They are sterile, and they can't reproduce. They are the ones that look for the food. They are the ones that take care and babysit all the little ones, and they are the ones that defend the nest from unwanted visitors. Ants are clean and they're tidy. In fact, there are certain ants inside the ant colony that have a job just to take all the refuge of the ant colony out and put it in a little ant dump. I think they put their holders out there every Tuesday, and then these guys come by in little ant trucks and pick it up or something. And there's a common red species ants that have a sting, and their job is to defend their nest. And the common black ants that we see and the wood ants have no sting, but they can squirt a spray of formic acid. And some birds actually go down with their beaks and catch these ants on the ground and then put them over their bodies in the feathers, because the ants, to defend themselves, will spray this formic acid onto their body, and that will kill the parasites that are on top of the bird. So God's working very, very strongly. The slave maker ant raids the nest of other ants and then steals their eggs. And when these new ants hatch from their eggs, they become slaves in this new colony, and the bigger ants control them. So the worker ant has a job to keep the eggs and the larvae into different groups according to ages. And the worker ant has a tremendous responsibility, much wiser than the human being, to protect the unborn. And it takes all the eggs in the evening time, one by one, and moves them deep into the heart of the colony nest so that they will be warm at night. And in the break of day when there is sunlight, one by one, these special ants that do nothing but protect the unborn bring them to the front of the opening so that they can have heat. So they have a responsibility for the future, and they have in them the understanding that the unborn are to be protected no matter what the cost, because they are the future of their colony and who they are. Yes, the ants are strong people, not a strong people compared to my shoe. But yet they're smart enough to know that the times aren't always going to be good. So these little creatures were created not to be greedy and not to do a run-up real quickly on something and hurt other people at the expense of all the others in the colony. God said we could look at the ants and we could learn wisdom. They have exceeding wisdom, not just wisdom, but exceeding wisdom, going beyond what we would think in our normal mind. They are small in size, and yet they are wise enough to be ready for the rough, harsh winters that will come, that they have to stay out of the cold wind and the rain and the sleet and the snow. Now, verse 26 tells us about another animal, and some of you have different words in your biblical translations. I have, the conies are but a feeble folk, yet they make their houses in the rocks. The coney is a hyrax. He's like a bunny rabbit. He's defenseless. He is a strange little guy. He's called a rock badger. This is a picture of one of them. Pretty innocent. Was it Joy Adamson that wrote Born Free? The lady that found Elsa, the lion cub in Africa, and raised her to be her own personal pet? She had a rock badger, a coney, as a pet, just like she had that lion. And she said they're a very loyal pet. They're very neat and fastidious and clean. In fact, they would not go into the bathroom in the house. And when she would travel, she would have to find a special place for this guy to go to the restroom. So the coney are but a feeble folk. Now notice the word folk. He's thinking of those from down south here compared to the ant being a people. Again, he's saying this is a homogeneous group of little creatures that nobody pays any attention to, that are wise exceedingly and take care of their lives in planning and in thinking. I've used this for almost 40 years. I meet a group of people, or I meet someone and I say, so and so or this or that, that's a feeble group. These are feeble people. They're feeble in the spirit. They're feeble in the knowledge of God's word. They're weak and feeble in the understanding of things of God. They claim to be Christian, but they don't gather in prayer. They aren't wise as the coney. Now, why is he a feeble folk? He has one special claw, one little talon in one of his feet that God made in this little character. And that whole purpose of that one little long nail is to groom himself and to scratch his back and his tummy and to just groom his hair. I've had barbers like that sometimes, I think. They start working on you. But conies are a feeble folk. They have no defenses. They can't protect themselves. The rock badger. But if you'll turn with me, we'll come right back here to the Psalms 104. And we'll look at, say, verse 114 and read a couple of the things that God does in creation that can help you understand why you need to be wiser than an ant or a coney. 104, verse 14. Well, let's look at verse 10. This is what God does. He sends springs into the valleys. They flow among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. God waters all of his creatures. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. By them the birds of the heavens have their home. They sing among the branches. He waters the hills from his upper chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your works, O Lord. He causes the grass to grow so the cattle have food. The vegetation for the service of man, that you and I would have vegetables, that he may bring forth food from the earth. And he makes wine so that it makes glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine. He makes bread which strengthens man's heart. The trees of the Lord are full of sap. The cedars of Lebanon which he planted, where the birds make their nest. God's providing for everyone, and there is nobody ruling over them providing. It's God providing. The stork has her home in the fir tree. The high hills are for the wild goats, and the cliffs are a refuge for the rock badgers or for the conies. This little insignificant small animal that cannot defend itself, even the psalmist knew about, that God had created it for a purpose and gave it wisdom to take care of itself, though it had no defense mechanisms, but its mind was so smart. I am prey to every predator out there. I must get to the rock and hide. That's smarter than most Christians or people that know that we must run to the rock. King David said, I have cried out unto the Lord. The Lord has inclined his ear and he heard me. And he has lifted me out of a horrible pit of miry clay. And he has set my feet upon the rock and he has established my steps. And he has put a new song in my heart. This little defenseless furry creature that is very amicable and very friendly and very kind and loving to adults knows that I must go up higher to find safety so I can enjoy my life. And God put that in him. Now, concerning the rock badger, concerning this little guy they call the coney, the feeble folk as he is known, he is a rare little animal that resides only in a special place in the world. He resides in parts of South Africa, and then the extreme southwest parts, as the psalmist would know, in the western part of Asia. The South Africans refer to him as a rock daisy, and daisy is their word for badger. He's a curious little creature, and we've heard curiosity kills the cat. And this curious little creature, though he has this curiosity, is still very wise to not let his curiosity get him killed. And this creature has a mixture of other animals in him. He has the incisors of a rodent, the molars of a rhinoceros, the vascular system of a whale, and the feet of an elephant. Now, that's amazing. Scientists have always been in awe of this feeble folk, and again, because they stay together and their weaknesses are strong, like the church is when she stays together and pulls out of the world and doesn't let anything of this world affect her life. The rock badger makes her homes in crags and crevices of rocky outcrops and cliffs. And it's ideal for the little coney because he's slow and moving. He's got these elephant feet for his size. He's a natural target for every predator. His inhospitable environment, though, ensures that enemies keep their distance from him because they can't climb up and they can't get up there. He's wise to get up high. You're wise to get very close to the Lord right now because winter's coming. And you must, if you haven't already, prepared for the harshness. And let me tell you, there is harshness coming our way.
That's Mike McIntosh with the first of two parts of a teaching that points out some of God's feeble creations that can be used in our lives as examples of the great mysteries of God and how they can be a testimony of how He wants to work in each one of our lives. Four Things Exceedingly Wise is the title of this lesson from our survey of Proverbs. You'll want to tune in when we pick up in our teaching at this point on the next edition of C&V. If you'd like to keep up to date with the international outreach of Horizon Christian Fellowship, look under the Ministries link, then go to Missions on the website at hcf.org. This is where you'll find information about Horizon Missions and churches around the world. If you'd like to keep in touch with a missionary family in the field, this is the site where you'll find contact information and news about developments around the world. Every Christian should be interested in the progress being made in spreading the gospel, and the Horizon website is one of the places where you can be part of the missions effort taking place in our day. Again, look under the ministry section and click on the missions link on the web at hcf.org. Let me remind you to join us here Wednesday for our next study in the book of Proverbs. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.